Okay.
Blog
welcome,
Talk
welcome,
Radio.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are studying the major prophets, and we're glad to have you here with us. This module will cover the books of the Bible. We are looking at this course is a study of the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Historical background information and theological themes of each book are outlined. This class, students will be able to identify basic outline of each book, identify the main message or themes of each book, identify the revelation and promise of Christ in each book. So this is introduction to the major prophets, and we are starting out with Isaiah. And we're going to go into just an outline at first, then we'll go into the, we'll take a look at an outline, and then we'll look at some of the historical events. And from the historical events, we will take a look at the Christ of Isaiah. We will look at keys to Isaiah. We'll look at a short summary of Isaiah. And depending on time, we may stop there. Following that, though, we do have Isaiah, the glorious throne of Jehovah, the Holy One. We have the Old Testament prophets, the term prophecy, other titles applied to the prophets, qualifications of the prophets, the oral and writing prophets, the message of the prophet. Wow, this is a long one. The man Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, a summary. The two main divisions of Isaiah. Prominent subjects in Isaiah. Oh, I know we can't do all that tonight. Key words and phrases in Isaiah's, the applications. The seven things everlasting, Isaiah's portraits of Christ, the call and anointing of Isaiah, Isaiah's reaction to the vision, the live call experience, the call for messengers, and then we will have a quiz. All of that was the reading. That looks like that's a lot of reading. So I'll probably divide that up. We are on tonight. This is Sunday morning, I should say, 1:30 a.m. And then Tuesday we'll be on at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Is our one day daytime. We do two nights, Friday night and Sunday night, which really is Saturday morning and Monday morning. We're in the prayer room. And Tuesday, 1 p.m., we come on also. So I'll just open up with prayer. We had another Bible scholar. I think I took too long, and they went to sleep. I'm going to email her and just apologize. All right. Sorry for starting so late. I sent out the invitation. Sorry for starting so late. I sent it out 12:30. We didn't start till an hour later. If up, join us now. Okay. All right. God, we thank you. We praise you. You brought us through another week. We thank you, God, as we have a new week coming before us, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We just thank you, God. We thank you, God, for every blessing that you have waiting for us, Heavenly Father, in this upcoming week. And we bind and rebuke and put to the side in the name of Jesus any type of sabotage of the blessings you have before us, Heavenly Father, any type of obstructions and curses or anything of that nature put in our way. God, we bind up demon forces in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We bind them up. We decree and declare, Heavenly Father, peace, love, good health, prosperity, compassion, and love, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, that our lives will be made to manifest such in everything that we do. We bind up the spirit of torture. We bind up the spirit of oppression. We bind up the spirit of income lynching, blacklisting, electronic torture, organized stalking, mind control programming, neuromonitoring, neuroprogramming. We bind up human research exploitation, human research obstruction, scientific obstructions. Heavenly Father, every plan of Satan, we put it in the hands of the Most High God to lead your people to destroy, dismantle, and never let be replicated on this earth again. God, we give you praise in advance for the great works that you will use your people to do, that these programs will be brought to the front line and that they will be taken off this earth according to your will in your time, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you, God, that we know of this thing called faith. We know of this thing called trust and obey. We know of your sovereign power. We know that you, God, are the God of miracles, that you're the God of the impossible. So despite what that devil wants to make things look like, inducing a feeling of hopelessness, of helplessness, we bind you up, Satan. We know that we serve a sovereign God, a God of miracles, a God of the impossible. And in God's time, every demon force will be made to bow down, apologize, because the word of God says that he will put our enemies around us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Psalms 23 tells us that your enemies, he'll put a table before the presence of your enemies, Heavenly Father, that your enemies will be your footstool in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, that we can afford to pray for their souls because they're doomed. They have to live a life of harming, of evilness, harming other human beings, defrauding people, deceiving people. Playing with people's lives, using science to kill, is a life full of evil. And in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus that every demon on top of that will be brought down. God, we just thank you for healing, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for blessings. We thank you, God, for coverage. We bind up that coughing demon. We bind up that demon that's trying to interrupt my mother's health in the name of Jesus. I bind it up. I call that demon to be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind up the shoulder demon, the coughing demon, and every other plan and plot of Satan. And I thank you, God, for the gift of longevity that you've given her and that you will continue to give her. I thank you, God, that you use the elderly to manifest, to show the power of God, that God will keep his people according to his will. God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for Ann's mother. We thank you, God, for my mother, Amy's mother, and all of our seniors. God bless our seniors, Heavenly Father, Maitreese, our senior Elka, all the seniors, the ones in between and the ones on their way. We ask you, God, to bless our young people, Ann's son, Amy's son, my nephews, in the name of Jesus, that they will be, each and every one of them, will be men of God. They will be able to wave the banner. And we bind up Satan's attacks on their lives, any type of interruption to God's plan and destiny for their lives. We plead the blood of Jesus that they will be men of God and women of God, that they will carry out what God created them for. And we bind up spiritual attacks, inducing them into cults or darkness, any types of dark forces. God, we give you praise. We thank you, God, for the thirst and the yearning to learn your word. We thank you, God, for the thirst and the yearning to learn about our major prophets and our minor prophets, God. Thank you, God, for this awesome technology you've given us, call our brain, the best computer on this earth, God. We thank you that we can use it and we can use the Bible, the basic book before leaving earth, to give us instructions on where to go, what to do when this world comes to a point where we see that evil is trying to take us out or trying to reign or rule over the people. We thank you, God, that we have a book to show that evil's been on this earth a long time and that the only power over evil, The only power over wickedness is the power of God. And we thank you, God, that we have a countermeasure. We thank you, God, that we have a guide. We thank you, God, that we have a way that we can let, we don't have to just lean on what the world offers. We can have understanding when public protection offices don't work, when the legal system doesn't work, when people are just left out here. God, what the devil meant for bad, we know that you will use for good. It gives us the power to start looking into resources in the supernatural realm. We learn, Heavenly Father, that you're a God of above all gods, that you're a healer, that you're a provider, that you've made a way for every one of us to survive where we didn't have to compromise our soul. And we thank you, God, and we praise you, God. It may seem difficult, but if the job was to accomplish your goals, Heavenly Father, to bring us to be the men and women that you created us to be, then so let it be. God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, God, for your awesomeness. We thank you, God, for being who you are, faithful God. We thank you, God, for every rescue you brought us through, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. We thank you, God, for those who are not, who are here, those who are listening, participating. We thank you, God, for our sister Anne, Heavenly Father, for her testimony, for the manifestation of your work that you're going to do within her. We thank you, God, for her strength to keep on standing on the banner of the Most High God in the midst of challenging times. We thank you, God, for all that you're going to do for her. We thank you, God, for her ministry that's coming. We thank you, God, for her testimony. We thank you, God, for our sister Amy, who's continually advocating on behalf of human rights, God. Bring her back to our Bible study, God. Lead her, guide her, direct her in all that she does, Heavenly Father. We ask you, God, to bless my mother's friend Trini that's in the hospital. May she come out that hospital, Heavenly Father. Cover her, Lord. Watch over her, God. We thank you, God, for her praying time. We thank you, God, for her prayers. We thank you, God, for all that she's done to make this earth a better place. And we ask you, God, to just continue to bless her and get her out of that hospital and keep her under your wings, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you, God, for all you've done. We thank you, God, for just being in the land of the living, being able to praise your name. We thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer to penetrate the works of darkness. We thank you, God, that we have the shield of protection that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We thank you, God, for coverage, for the shielding against evil forces, supernatural forces. We thank you, God, for putting us under your wings. We thank you, God, for covering us, even though things may seem difficult, but we know that we serve a mighty God, and he has the answers for all. God, we praise you, we exalt you, and we ask you, God, to let us leave this Bible study with information and knowledge we did not have previously on, and a better understanding of the major prophets, starting with the prophet Isaiah, and an understanding, a better understanding of the book of Isaiah. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, prophecy, the book of Isaiah, we're looking at, we're studying, and this is one of the major prophets, that his name is Isaiah. We will look at an outline of Isaiah and take it from there. The outline, basically, the prophecy against Judah, this is in part one. The prophecy of condemnation is in basically chapters 1 to 35. It talks about the judgment of Judah, the day of the Lord, the parable of the vineyard. That sounds interesting. May look that up. It goes into the commission of Isaiah, the destruction. I'll be going a little more into this as we go along. I'm just giving the outline, and then I'll break down the important parts. We have the sign of Emmanuel, the sign of Maher Shalal Hash, prophecy of the Messiah's birth, judgment of Ephraim, the destruction of Assyria by God. That's Isaiah 10. Destruction of Assyria, remnant of Israel, restoration of the Messiah kingdom, thanksgiving in the Messiah's kingdom. We have the prophecies against other nations, prophecies against Babylon, prophecies against Assyria, prophecies against Philistia. Look at that. Prophecies against Moab, prophecies against Damascus and Samaria. Prophecies against Ethiopia, prophecies against Egypt, against Babylon, against Duma, against Arabia, against Jerusalem, against Tyre. Then we have the prophecies of the day of the Lord, judgment of the tribulation, triumphs of the king, kingdom Israel's praise for kingdom blessing, Israel's kingdom song, Israel blossoms in the kingdom. Then we have the prophecies of judgment and blessing. Woe to Ephraim, excuse me, woe to Ariel, woe to Egyptian alliance. Behold the coming king, woe to the spoiler of Jerusalem, woe to the nations, behold the coming kingdom. So that's just an outline, and we will go into more specifics thereafter. Then we have Hezekiah's salvation from Assyria. That's Isaiah 36, 1 through 37. Assyria challenges God. God destroys Assyria. Hezekiah's salvation from sickness. Hezekiah's sin. The prophecies, this is part 3, is the prophecies of comfort, Isaiah 40. The prophecies of Israel's deliverance. Comfort because of Israel's deliverance, comfort because of God's character, comfort because of God's greatness, comfort because of God's servant, comfort because of Israel's restoration, comfort because of God's use of Cyrus, comfort because of Babylon's destruction, destruction of Babylon's idols, destruction of Babylon, declaration of Judah's chastening. The prophecy of Israel's deliverer, the Messiah's mission, the Messiah's obedience, the Messiah's encouragement, the Messiah's atonement, the Messiah's promise of Israel's restoration, the Messiah's invitation to the world, the Messiah's rebuke of the wicked. This is all Isaiah, up to Isaiah 56. And finally, Isaiah 58 to 66. Remember, this is just an outline. I'll go over the key points shortly. The prophecies, the end of Isaiah, talks about the prophecies of Israel's glorious future, blessing of true worship, sins of Israel, glory of Israel in the kingdom, advents of the Messiah, future of Jerusalem, vengeance of God, that's Isaiah 63, prayer of the remnant, the Lord's answer to the remnant, and glorious consummation of history, Isaiah 65. Okay, what is the Christ of Isaiah? In Isaiah, how is Christ represented? Remember, this is the Old Testament before Christ came about in the New Testament. So Isaiah is one of the prophets. And let's see where we compare Isaiah to Christ. When he speaks about Christ, Isaiah sounds more like a New Testament writer than an Old Testament prophet. His messianic prophecies are clearer and more explicit than those in any other Old Testament book. They describe many aspects of the person and work of Christ in his first and second advents, and often blend the two together. Here are a few of the Christological prophecies of Isaiah with their New Testament fulfillments. Okay, Isaiah 7 through 14 is identified in Matthew 1:22. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 is in Matthew 4:12. Isaiah 9, 6, Luke 2, Ephesians 2:14. Isaiah 11, 1 is in Luke 3:23. And the Old Testament has over 300 prophecies about the first advent of Christ, and Isaiah contributes a number of them. The odds that one person could fulfill even 10 of the prophecies are a statistical marvel. Isaiah's messianic prophecies that await fulfillment in the Lord's second advent include Isaiah 4:2, Isaiah 11:2-6, Isaiah 10:32, and Isaiah 49:7. Included in messianic prophecies is Isaiah's, his wholehearted sacrifice, burnt offering, his perfect character, meal offering. He bought atonement that ushers in the peace of God, and he paid for the transgression of the people, the sin offering. He died for the effects of sin, the trespass offering. That is why Hosea is considered the Christ type of the Old Testament. It was his messianic prophecies, his wholehearted sacrifices, his burnt offerings, his meal offerings, his atonement. What are the keys to Isaiah? The key words of Isaiah are, salvation is of the Lord. The key words of Isaiah are, salvation is of the Lord. The basic theme of this book is found in Isaiah's name. Salvation is of the Lord. The word salvation appears 26 times in Isaiah, but only 7 times in all the other prophets combined. Chapters 1 through 39 portray man's great need for salvation, and chapters 40 to 66 reveal God's great provision of salvation. Salvation is of God, not man, and he is seen as the supreme ruler, the sovereign Lord of history, and the only Savior. Isaiah solemnly warns Judah of approaching judgment because of moral depravity, political corruption, social injustice, and especially spiritual idolatry. Because the nation does not turn away from its sinful practice, Isaiah announces the ultimate overthrow of Judah. Nevertheless, God will remain faithful to his covenant by preserving a godly remnant and promises salvation and deliverance through the coming Messiah. The Savior will come out of Judah and accomplish the dual work of redemption and restoration. The Gentiles will come to his light, and universal blessing will finally take place. Isaiah's name means salvation of Jehovah. We can see salvation in the following chapters or verses. There are wells of salvation, Isaiah 12:3. There is the joy of salvation, Isaiah 25:9. There are walls of salvation, Isaiah 26:1. It is an everlasting salvation, Isaiah 45:17. There is a day of salvation, Isaiah 49:8. He addresses the feet of the heralds of salvation, Isaiah 52:7. There is the spread of salvation, Isaiah 52:10. There is the arm of salvation, Isaiah 59:16. Isaiah mentions the helmet of salvation, Isaiah 59:17. He speaks the garments of salvation, Isaiah 61:10. And finally, he speaks of the light of salvation, Isaiah 62:1. So, the key words of Isaiah are, salvation is of the Lord. The key verses of Isaiah are, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and chapter 53, verse 6. The key chapter of Isaiah is chapter 53. Along with Psalms 22, Isaiah 53 lists the most remarkable and specific prophecies of the atonement of the Messiah. Fulfilling each clear prophecy, the Jewish nation later proved the messianship of Jesus. Summary of Isaiah. Isaiah, the Shakespeare of the prophets, has often been called the evangelical prophet because of his incredibly clear and detailed messianic prophecies. The gospel, according to Isaiah, has 3 major sections: prophecies of condemnation, historical parentheses, and prophecies of comfort. Prophecies of condemnation in chapters 1 through 35, historical parentheses, chapters 36 through 39, and prophecies of comfort, chapters 40 to 66. first comes the prophecies of condemnation, chapters 1 through 35. Isaiah's first message of condemnation is aimed at his own countrymen in Judah, chapters 1 through 12. Chapters 1 is a capsulated message of the entire book. Judah is riddled with moral and spiritual disease. The people are neglecting God as they bow to ritualism and selfishness. Sounds like today, but Yahweh graciously invites them to repent and to return to him because this is their only hope of avoiding judgment. Isaiah's call to proclaim God's message is found in chapter 6, and this is followed in the book by the discourse on Emmanuel, chapter 7 through 12. These chapters repeatedly refer to the Messiah as in chapter 7, 8, 9, and anticipate the blessing of his future reign. The prophet moves from local to regional judgment as he proclaims a series of oracles against the surrounding nations. Chapter 13 through 23, the 11 nations of Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, which is Syria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Babylon, Edom, Arabia, Jerusalem, Judah, and Tyre. Isaiah's little apocalypse, chapters 24 through 27, depicts universal tribulation followed by the blessings of the kingdom. Chapters 28 through 33 pronounce 6 woes on Israel and Judah for specific sins. Isaiah's prophetic condemnation closes with a general picture of international devastation that will precede universal blessings, chapters 34 and 35. Next comes the historical parentheses in Isaiah chapters 36 through 39. The historical parentheses looks back to the Assyrian invasion of Judah in 701 B.C., and it anticipates the coming Babylonian invasion of Judah. Judah escapes, but they will not escape from the lands to Babylon. Chapters 38 and 39 reflect on 2 Kings chapter 20. God answers King Ezekiah's prayers and delivers Judah from Assyrian destruction by Sennacherib. Hezekiah also turns to the Lord in his illness, and is granted a 15-year extension of his life. But he foolishly shows all his treasures to the Babylonian messengers, and Isaiah tells him that the Babylonians will one day carry his treasure and descendants to their land. Next is the prophecies of comfort, chapters 40 through 66. What are the prophecies of comfort? Having pronounced Judah's divine condemnation, Isaiah comforts them with God's promises of hope and restoration. The basis for this hope is sovereignty and the majesty of God. Just like today, just like it was then, what is the TI's hope for? It is premised on God's sovereignty and the majesty of God. Isaiah chapters 40 through 48. Reveal such. Of the 216 verses in these 9 chapters, 115 of those speak of God's greatness and power. The Creator is contrasted with idols, the creations of men. His sovereign character is Judah's assurance of future restoration. Babylon will indeed carry them off, but Babylon will finally be judged and destroyed, and God's people will be released from captivity. Look at that. God's people will be released from captivity. That type of captivity sounds like a mind control program right there. We are reliving history. Chapters 49 through 57 concentrate on the coming Messiah, who will be their Savior and suffering servant. The rejected but exalted one will pay for their iniquities and usher in a kingdom of peace and righteousness through the earth. All who acknowledge their sins and trust in God will be delivered. chapters 58 through 66. In that day, Jerusalem will be rebuilt, Israel's borders will be enlarged, and the Messiah will reign in Zion. God's people will confess their sins, and his enemies will be judged. Peace, prosperity, and justice will prevail, and God will make all things new. Isaiah, the glorious throne of Jehovah, the Holy One, of all the writing prophets, Isaiah, is justly accounted the greatest. I didn't know that. His prophecy is one of the longest and is quoted more frequently than any other in the New Testament. Wow. He more often than any other prophet tells of the coming Messiah. Isaiah prophesied for about 50 years during very critical times of the kingdoms, Israel and Judah. He was greatly responsible for the sweeping reforms introduced by Hezekiah. He was one of Judah's righteous kings. It is said of Isaiah, Isaiah is the great messianic prophet and prince of Old Testament seers. For splendor of diction, brilliance of imagery, versatility and beauty of style, profundity, depth, especially great depth, and breadth of prophetic vision, he is without comparison. The Old Testament prophets, without question, the ministry of the prophet, along with that of priest, judge, and king, was crucial in the life of the Jews in the Old Testament times. The word prophet in its various form appears over 600 times in the Bible, two-thirds of which are the Old Testament. A person should spend much time studying the prophetic books. The audience of the prophets was the 12 tribes. Most messages of the Old Testament prophetic books were addressed to the generation of God's people who lived approximately between the years 840 and 420 BC. The 10 tribes, known specifically as the Kingdom of Israel, lived in North Canaan before the Assyrians deported them in 722 BC. The other two tribes, known as the Kingdom of Judah, lived in South Canaan before the Babylonians took them captive in 586 BC. The people of God were not always divided into two camps. The split of the kingdom came at the end of Solomon's reign. Jeroboam I, being the first king of the north, and Rehoboam, the first king of the south. This story is recorded in 1 Kings chapters 12 through 16. The history of the Jews during Old Testament times generally falls into four periods called camp, commonwealth, crown, and captivity, along with restoration. The audiences of the writing prophets were the people living during the last two periods. The term prophecy, the primary task of the Old Testament prophets was not to foretell future events, but to foretell the will of God, which he had revealed to his prophets. Oh, that's interesting. So in the Old Testament, the prophet really wasn't concerned with foretelling the future. It was more so foretelling the will of God, which was revealed to the prophets. Now, we use the Bible to reveal God's will, but they had, before the Bible was written, they had the prophets. Wow. Interesting. Other titles applied to the prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament were sometimes designated by other titles. Of these, the three most frequently used were man of God, seer, and servant of Jehovah. Wow, those are all prophets. Again, man of God, seer, S-E-E-R, and servant of Jehovah. The term man of God suggests an intimate spiritual relationship. The term seer suggests perception of the true and insight into the invisible things of God. Servant of Jehovah means who is master of the prophet. The prophets were also known as messengers of Jehovah, men of the Spirit, and interpreters and spokesmen for God. Hosea 9:7. Qualifications of the prophet. Listed below are some of the qualifications of the high office of the prophet. Considering the nature of the prophet's work, it is not surprising that the qualifications were so strict. The first qualification, the prophet had a sovereign calling. God's sovereign will determine who his prophets were. Isaiah 6, Jeremiah 1. The prophet had special abilities. These were given by God's Spirit, enabling the prophet to perceive the true seer and equipping him with the gift of communicating the revelation of God to people. And number three, the prophet had spiritual qualities. These qualities included unselfishness, obedience to the voice of God, love, faith, courage, and long-suffering. My God. The prophet had spiritual qualities. These qualities included unselfishness, obedience to the voice of God, love, faith, courage, and long-suffering. My God, those are considered spiritual qualities. The oral and writing prophets. All of God's prophets shared the same purpose for which they were divinely called. Their primary ministry was to deliver a message from God to an unbelieving and apostate Israel. Some of these, now referred to as the writing or literary prophets, were chosen of God not only to a public speaking ministry, but also to be authors of the inspired canon books of prophecy. The others, now referred to as the oral prophets, ministered mostly by the spoken word. There are few oral prophets mentioned in Scripture. The Bible records the names of only a few of the oral prophets. Most of these who are named are not commonly known. The following are oral prophets along with the meaning of their names. The name IDDO, Edo, means timely. The name Jehu means Jehovah is he. There is Elijah, which means Jehovah is God. There is Elisha, meaning God is salvation. The name Obed means aiding. The name Shemaiah means Jehovah has heard. The name Azariah means Jehovah has helped. The name Hanani means gracious. The name Jehaziel means God sees. The name Huldah means weasel or mole. The office of prophet probably originated around the time of Samuel. Samuel founded and presided over various schools of young prophets, also known as the Company of the Prophets, 1 Samuel 19:20. These prophets are also classified as oral prophets. Concerning these schools, one author wrote, "The origin and history of these schools is obscure. According to 1 Samuel 3:1, before the call of Samuel as a prophet, the prophetic word was rare in Israel, and prophecy was not widespread. There is little doubt that these unions and prophets arose in the time of Samuel were called into existence by him. These unions may have grown until the time of Elijah and Elisha. They arose only in Israel, not in Judah." There were also writing prophets. As noted earlier, 16 writing prophets wrote the 17 books of prophecy in our English Bible. There were three main periods during which the prophets ministered. The first period was the pre-exilic, E-X-I-L-L-I-C. 11 prophets ministered during the years leading up to the Assyrian captivity in 722 B.C. and the Babylonians' captivity in 586 B.C. Big clusters of four prophets each. To Assyrian captivity, Amos and Hosea prophets mainly to Judah. To the Babylonian captivity, Nahum, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Habakkuk, basically to Judah. And three earlier prophets, Jonah to Israel, Obadiah, and Joel to Judah. The second period was exilic period. Two of the four major prophets were prophets of the exile, Ezekiel and Daniel. The third period was the post-exilic. The three post-exile prophets were Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. The first two ministered at the close of this restoration period. The writing prophets, in addition to composing their prophecies in written form, they also had a wide ministry of speaking at public gatherings in the temple or on the streets for future generations of God's people. However, their major work was in their writing. Message of the prophet. Whether the prophet was called to preach or to write, do both, his message was the same. All the prophetic word of the Old Testament could probably be compiled under the following four large areas of truth about which the prophet engaged himself. The first are instruction of the great truth about God and man. The prophets devoted much time telling the people about God, such as his character, domain, purposes, law, and they also gave a true diagnosis of the spiritual health of the nation as a whole and of individual souls. The second are warnings, messages of the prophet. The second message the prophet gives is warning and appeal to those living in sin. This is basically the message of the prophets. They gave warning and appeal to those living in sin. It cannot be said that God brings judgment upon men without forewarning. Over and over again, the prophets warned of judgment to come for sin and exhorted the people. They warned the people to repent and turn to God. The third area the prophets is the area of comfort, exhortation to those trusting and obeying God. Those are the warm and bright portions of the prophet's message. The last part of Isaiah abounds in such notes of hope and consolation. The prophets predict the prediction of events to come. Predictions were of two major subjects. These included national and international events of both near and far distant future and the coming of Jesus the Messiah, both his first and second coming. When we read a book of prophecy, various things should be kept in mind. First of all, we need to look at the immediate setting. We should be acquainted with the political and religious conditions which prevailed at the time any given prophet was speaking. For most of the prophetic books, this can be ascertained by reading in the books of Kings and Chronicles the history of the kings and who were ruling at any particular period. For example, the first verse of Isaiah gives the names of four kings who were reigning while Isaiah was prophesying. By turning back to the historical books and reading the accounts of these reigns, one can realize the evils which existed and against which Isaiah was thundering. The next thing we would look at is the setting of foreign powers. The setting of foreign powers throws light on the prophetic books. For each book, we will want to know something of the surrounding nations, especially those vying for world superiority and power. The three reigning world powers during the years of the prophet were Assyrian up to 612 BC at the fall of Nineveh, the Neo-Babylonian Empire up to 539 BC when Babylon fell, and the Persian Empire up to Malachi and beyond. Another thing to keep in mind is the God of history. We will appreciate and understand more of the historical movements of the prophets' days if we always keep in mind that human history is in the sovereign hands of an omnipotent God. Everything transpires either by his permissive or directive will. He foreknew every event before it became history, and on many occasions he gave such prophetic revelation to his prophets to share with the nation. We should also look at the chosen nation. Israel was God's elect nation, called into being by his sovereign decree. Israel was preserved through the ages, though sometimes in a very small remnant, in fulfillment of his covenant originally made with Abraham. We must also look. We must also look at the prophetic point. The utterances of the prophets, for the most part, centered around four points in history. These points deal with their own time, with the threatening captivities, Assyrian and Babylonian, and the subsequent restoration, the coming of their Messiah in the millennium. It was as though the prophets